Well, I want to preach to you for just a little while about a subject in 1 Samuel chapter 7. I want to preach to you about the sermon entitled, Raise Your Ebenezer. I trust the Lord will bless you as you find 1 Samuel chapter 7. I did hear a story about this elderly couple that they were having trouble with something that nobody in this room has any trouble with, memory. You say, what'd you say? I forget, you know. I heard a preacher one time say that some of those forgetful things, the only good thing about any of those diseases or things is you can hide your own Easter eggs. Just hide them, then wait a little while, you go back and find them. This elderly couple, though, was having trouble with memory, and so they went to the doctor, and the doctor just had one simple solution: write everything down. Make sure you write it down, because that's the way to combat that. There's really nothing else you could do. And so one evening, the wife said, well, I would like to have some ice cream. And he said, well, I can get that for you. So he got up from the couch, and he was probably watching the Waltons or Little House on the Prairie or some show, and said, I'll go get it. She said, don't forget what the doctor said. Write it down. He said, I'm just going into the kitchen. I can get that. He said, no, you better not. She said, oh, I can remember it. And so he went in. He was gone a while. Came back in. He had a plate with bacon, eggs, orange juice on a little tray, and a napkin. She said, I told you should write it down. He said, what? I've got it all. He said, I knew that you'd forget my toast if you didn't write it down. So... that's an old one, but 1 Samuel chapter 7, just a couple of chapters back is when Eli and his sons, Eli comes to his ending, and a baby is born into that family, and they said, call it Ichabod, because the glory is departed. They acceptably return the ark of God back into God's people. Israel returns to the Lord. That's the, just kind of give you the landscape of where we're getting up to. And now we're going to see Israel in an ultimate victory over the Philistines, the Philistia here. In verse number eight, of 1 Samuel chapter 7, we see, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, because they had gotten... Can if you look up here for a minute, the Israelites were like this. They were up and they were down. They were up and they were down. They were seeking the Lord. When they get down, they'd seek the Lord. And then as soon as they got up, because God brought them victory, then they got high and lifted up, and then they got knocked back down again. It shouldn't be too hard for us to realize, because that's about the way we are oftentimes. God really meets with us in that valley and really comforts us and strengthens us, and we just thank Him for it. And that precious valley time, and then we get back up toward the mountaintop, and we think, "Ooh, I'm doing pretty good." About like when we tell our mom, "Look, Mom, no hands." About that time, then a crash is coming. And so the Israelites, they're in that fashion. They're up at this particular point. They get a hold of the Lord, but then they find themselves in problematic waters again. The children of Israel said to Samuel, now they're in trouble again, because let me read verse 17. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Same Philistines that God said, well, I'll give you victory over, but they were afraid. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Samuel was the prophet, he was their priest there, he was the guy that was going to get it done before the Lord, stand before the Lord with them. They said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. Verse 9, and Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. Just a little side note there, just because you're right with God, just because you're praying, just because you're doing right with God, you are right with God, doesn't mean the Philistines aren't coming. They are right with the Lord this time. They're seeking Him. They're beseeching Him. Preacher man, please pray for us. While all that's going on, Samuel's offering up a burnt offering. The Philistines drew near. Problems are still coming like they do in our lives. They drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they were come to Bethkar. There, verse 12 is where we get our title from the sermon. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the day of Samuel. One last point, I'll get the last point, but out of verse 14, and the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Ammonites. I want to preach for just a little while. Verse number 12 talks about Samuel putting this stone there, a little place to pray, a little place to remember, a little place of memorial. He raised an Ebenezer. Well, that word Ebenezer literally means the stone of help. Father, bless us now in our next minutes we have, I pray. And I ask you to help my friends that are sitting in front of me. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless them. Those that are watching via live stream at their house or wherever they are, Lord, strengthen them. And then those that are joining us via the radio, I pray that you would speak to hearts everywhere, dear Lord, that your word is heard. In Jesus' name, amen. We find that Israel's learned their lesson several times. As I said, they get up just to get knocked back down. And this is one of the times when they realize they're going to send message to Samuel. Please don't stop praying for us. Please beg God. Please ask the Lord of the universe to come and to meet with us. And they're asking Samuel to continually pray. And Samuel does, and God does exactly what the Israelites need. He subdues the Philistines. He pushes back the enemy. He lets them regain ground, and in the midst of all that story, Samuel, the prophet, the preacher man here, he raises up through some stonework his Ebenezer. And I want to give you this first point, number one, in our lives that we need to raise an Ebenezer as well. Number one, an Ebenezer needs to be raised. You see, in verse number 7, they were afraid of the Philistines. But then word comes through Samuel that God's going to provide a great victory, and they praise him for it. But in the midst of him providing this great victory, they realize that the victory is through the Lord, that God is the one fighting for them. And can I just give you a big time out right now? If you're going through a battle right now, remember, my friend, the victory is not going to come through your stubbornness or obstinance or your strength or your character. God may use all those things in your lives, but it will come. That victory will come because the Lord sees fit to come visit you in the midst of your issues. If somebody's marriage is going to be salvaged, somebody's family is going to be restored, some relationship is going to be brought back to where it's supposed to be, it's going to be by the goodness of the Lord. My friend, just like the Israelites found out that God was on the scene and God was going to do something great, in the midst of him doing something great, the Israelites, Samuel leading them, raised an Ebenezer, and this Ebenezer was the stone of help. They realized that if the Philistines were going to get defeated, it wasn't going to be by their military prowess. It wasn't going to be by their ability, because where their ability was shown back in verse number 7, where they were biting their nails and shaking in their boots, or in their sandals in their case, they were shaking in something anyways, so that they were worried about the enemy. But it's the change was not that they got so strong militarily. The wonderful victory was that God was going to show up. And in your life, in my life, I believe there needs to be raised an Ebenezer to remind us that the stone of help is that rock that is the cornerstone. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. In Psalm 95, verse 1, he is the rock of our salvation. And Jesus spoke when he talked to Peter in the New Testament, upon this rock shall I build my church. And there's a reason why. You say, I wonder why at Buffalo Ridge they talk about Jesus all the time. I wonder why they keep on going back to the same message. Well, the reason that we keep on going back to the same message is because Jesus said, upon this rock. He wasn't speaking of a cornerstone in the ground. He wasn't speaking of Peter. He was speaking of himself. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And this Ebenezer that Samuel raises to the Lord is reminding everybody who sees it, God's our help. And I'm challenging you this morning in your lives that you and I raise some Ebenezers, that we say, I realize I didn't get myself to this spot on my own ability. I realize that I didn't pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I realize that it wasn't my pedigree. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't any of the particular aspects of ability that I had. But all that I have is a gift from God. You say, yes, but I went to college to get trained, and I went through an internship, and I went to do this, and I did that. And yes, my friend, but as I've reminded you different times, who gave you the brain to absorb the knowledge that you got when you went to that college or the university or you went to an internship? I'm just saying this morning that we need to raise that Ebenezer and say, all that I've gotten is by Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's not within man to put, not this is not the way it says it, but to guide his own steps. We can't even put one foot in front of the other. But what God gave us the mental ability to know, that's how that works. I'm saying this morning that we need to raise some Ebenezers in our lives. You need to let it be known to those associates that you work with, that you get into more personal conversations with them. You need to raise the Ebenezer. And they say, how are you able to do this? Well, God has allowed me to do this. How could you build that business? Well, God allowed me to build this business. How do you have this beautiful home that we're in right now? God allowed me to have this beautiful home. Because God would still be good if you was living in a cardboard shack, a cardboard hut. But God has seen fit to give us much more than that. If I took you down behind the house that I grew up in, my mom and dad, behind where they lived, a little waterfall down there, a little creek, and up behind there, there's a tree that I carved in a long time ago. Said, J.H. loves A.N. John Herdman, I'm the J.H. A.N. is Amy Norris. If I've been thinking, I'd put it closer to the road. It's kind of up in the woods. You got to really get up there and find it. But that the strong survive. We get up there once in a while because I wanted to declare that I love this girl that I was going to marry. Now, does that need to be carved into a tree to make it true? No, not at all. Does that need to be carved into a tree to keep it going? I hope not, because one of these days some bugs might get in that tree and may fall. But it does remind us every time I see it, every time I get up there to get around it, it reminds me of the love that I have, and it declares it to the world. I'm trying to get us to see that we've raised some Ebenezers in our lives. When we chose to remodel this auditorium, as I've told you a dozen times, we put the cross right behind me at the peak and at the front so that everybody that comes in this church, we weren't looking for decorations. It was a lot more of a statement than just to say we wanted a decoration. It was to remind everybody that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be central in this church in everything that we do. As Jesus told the disciples that day, said, I, and if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And you understand that you and I need to raise the Ebenezers in our lives and remember, as Samuel did, that stone of help, that people that day were saying, God got us the victory. And number two, as I already mentioned in verse number 12, the Ebenezer in this passage focuses on God's help. This was not a lucky charm that Samuel was putting up there. This wasn't as some ball teams go out and slap the roof or the ceiling, the header of a room as they leave one room into the next. This wasn't slapping that for good luck. This wasn't a rabbit's foot that they were going to put in around their wrist or something. This wasn't any of that. I've always wondered about those rabbit's foot. Didn't seem to be so lucky for that rabbit. You ever think about that? But this Ebenezer wasn't a rabbit's foot. It wasn't a good luck charm. It wasn't us going to some pilgrimage. It wasn't us touching the feet of some statue of somebody who meant something to us back in our history. Instead, this Ebenezer that they raised, this crude stone symbol that they were putting there, it drew all of the attention to the Lord. This Ebenezer focused on God's help. You say, preacher, you're not doing too good for my self-esteem. I'm not trying to deplete your self-esteem or boost it up, but what I am trying to get all of us to see that without Jesus, we are nothing. And all of us would do well to remember that that family that you've got and that you enjoy is a gift from God. That job that is paying the bills that you've got in your family is a gift from God. That wife that God has given you is a gift from God. The breath that you have in your lungs that goes in and out is a gift from God. We need to remind ourselves what God has done for us. Old song says, ask God to pull back the curtain of memory now and then to remind me where you brought me from and what I could have been. The Holocaust Museum sits in Washington, D.C., and we've been there multiple times. Dwight Eisenhower, there's quotes by him throughout the museum, but one of the quotes that are there on the walls of the Holocaust Museum to show everybody the atrocities that were committed by certain people. Dwight D. Eisenhower, April 14, 1945, said this, and it's somewhere there in the walls of the Holocaust Museum. He said, as he made his visit over there to the concentration camps and all the atrocities that were committed after the war was ended, he said, I made this visit deliberately in order to be in a position to give firsthand evidence of these things if ever in the future there develops a tendency to charge these allegations merely to propaganda. If you work all the way through that, what he was saying was, I came here and I wanted, although he didn't want to, neither did any of them want to, but he said, I wanted to lay my eyes on the wickedness that was done, so that in generations or years to come, if somebody was tempted to say it wasn't as bad as all of that, he said, as the President of the United States and the leader of the free world, I want to put my emphatic stamp on that it was much worse than what it's described as. And that was an Ebenezer. Now, if you go to the Holocaust Museum, it's a reminder of horrific events that have happened in the nation and the world's history. And so just as a remembrance gets made in a negative way, you and I need to be putting Ebenezers in our lives to remember in a positive way the things that God has done for you. At the bottom of what used to be the Twin Towers, I believe 30-foot waterfalls that come down into those memorials there. Why are those there? Those are there to remind a nation. The money was spent to remind a nation that the strength and resolve of this nation to never let things happen again of that. And so in a negative way, we raise some remembrances, we raise memorials, but I'm asking you in a positive way to be building Ebenezers in your life, to focus on the fact that God has got you where you are. If you've got children in your home, if you've got grandchildren that you get to impact, you ought to on a regular basis be reminding them that everything you are, everything that you have, every good thing and every perfect gift that cometh from down from above is all from the Lord. And my friend, I'm telling you, we need to raise some Ebenezers. And those Ebenezers always focus on the help that God gives. And you and I, my friend, need to walk out of this church this morning remembering that God has been so good to us, and that's why we have our being, and that's why we are able to go, and that's why we get to enjoy all the things that we've gotten to enjoy because of the good hand of God that He's put on us. Verse number 14, I give you my last point. The Ebenezers that we raise allow us to reclaim ground. Let me show you what I mean by that. Verse number 14, if you're still there. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. The scenario would play out like this. As Samuel raised this Ebenezer, the God of help, the stone of God, the feature made there that God was in charge and God was blessing, that not only allowed them to have victories in the immediate area, but because of that statement that was made, then God allowed those Israelites to start pushing back the enemy in some other areas. And I'd like to, if I could, just alert you to this wonderful truth that when you make it clear and you stand your Ebenezer up that this life is built on Jesus Christ, God starts pushing back some of the other enemies and starts fighting some battles for you. Let me explain what I mean by this. I always tell everybody, if they're going to a new school, going to a new workplace, going to a new spot where you're around other people, when you get to supper time, you get to lunchtime, dinner, whatever, you get to the time when you're going to break for your meal, pray that first day. Bow your head, give thanks to the Lord, because God's given you that. You know what's a lot harder than that? To pray on the third day or fourth day or sixth day or sixth week. What I'm saying is, when you set the precedent on that first day and you bow your head, and you know what it means. You don't have to make a statement. You don't have to say, hey, everybody, look over here. You don't have to announce it. You just quietly bow your head to return thanks for the food that God has given you. You raise that Ebenezer, then God starts pushing back some other battles you won't have to face. Because after that, they're going to know, well, he's a church fella. She's a church person. She's a this, he's a that. And it may not all be positive, but what I'm saying is God's going to push some battles back for you, all because of that stand you took and raise your Ebenezer. Because really, that's what you're doing when you bow your head at the restaurant. You're raising your Ebenezer. You're saying, this family, we pray together. That's what you're doing when you pull out of the car on Sunday mornings and you get the family all in there and you get them in the car and you take them to church. You're raising your Ebenezer. You're telling to your neighbors, well, they're going back to church again. If you happen to be crazy enough to come back on Sunday nights, they say, well, there they go again. If you happen to be a lunatic enough to come back on Wednesday night, well, there they go again. What are you doing? You're raising your Ebenezer. You're saying this church thing is not just an activity I'm involved in. I'm really into it. I love the Lord. And so we see that the Ebenezers allow us to reclaim ground. That's what happened to the Israelites. When they raised that Ebenezer, God pushed back some of those other enemies. And I'm a firm believer. When we stand up, stand out, and stand strong for the Lord, then God goes to fight some battles for us around the battlefield and pushes back some of those enemies so that they know that there's a person of God to be reckoned with. A good while back, Amy and I, our whole family, went to Amy's parents' 55th anniversary celebration. Now, if somebody makes it that long, you know, there's a lot of waters that have been overcome. But when somebody has that anniversary, 50 years, 55 years, 40 years, 20 years, they're sticking a memorial up to say, this marriage and God that we built this marriage on means something to us. And that's why we get the opportunity to give glory back to God, say he's the stone of help, and our marriage, our family, our church, your business, your whatever is built on him. And maybe you're in this room, you're single, you don't have a marriage or children. Then you say, my life is built on him. You know, several folks are getting married this year in the church, and we rejoice with that. But I tell each one of them, make sure that you build this marriage firmly upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where the victory comes. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. My friend, what's God done for you? And when you think those thoughts of what he has done for you, then I challenge you to raise some Ebenezers. We don't need camouflage Christians that are afraid to give glory to the Lord for what he's done. Instead, what we need is those that raise an Ebenezer right out in front of God and everybody and say, he's done great things in my life. Today, we'll have a baptism here in just a moment. And really, when somebody gets baptized, what they are doing is they are proclaiming an inward faith outwardly to everybody who watches. They're raising their Ebenezer. They're alerting people to Jesus Christ's work in their life of what he's done for them. They don't want to be quiet. They don't want to be silent anymore. They're going to spout out about it. When a person stands at a marriage altar and they want to have a Christian marriage, they're raising their Ebenezer to say, we're building this house upon Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, I challenge each of us to do that. But perhaps you're here today and you're a little confused with what I'm speaking about, raising an Ebenezer. You say, "Preacher, Pastor, I've come into the room today and I'm not sure that I'm even on my way to heaven." Can I share with you just in a moment's time that Jesus came to this earth to save sinners, of which we're all. And the Bible says that because of our sins, that all of us deserve to go to a wicked place called hell. This is not a popular message in our culture today, but it's still a true message from the Word of God. That's where I deserve to go because of my lifestyle, because of my sin, but that Jesus died on the cross for me to take all of that off of me. And He wanted to impute His righteousness into me and impute His sin, my sin, onto Him. And years ago, I bowed my head and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I'm not going to heaven because I'm the pastor of this church, that's for sure. Not going to heaven because I try to live a good life, although I try to live a good life. I'm going to heaven today. I'm on my way to heaven today because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He was buried and He rose again in victory over sin, death, and the grave. And because of Him, I put my faith in what He's done. And that's why I'm on my way to heaven. And if you're not, I challenge you today. This is probably why God brought you to this room, so that you could put your faith in Jesus Christ. Say, "I'm already a church member." Church members don't go to heaven. Some church members do go to heaven, but they don't go on the merit of their church membership. You say, "I've already been baptized." We don't go to heaven on merit of baptism. We only go to heaven by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, by receiving. You say, "Pastor, I grew up in church." You don't go to heaven just because you grew up in church. You go to heaven because you've received Jesus Christ into your life for the forgiveness of your sins. And if that's you today, I trust that you would receive Christ as your personal Savior. The bulk of the people in this room, you've already done that. Then that message I just preached at the first part was for you. I'm challenging you to drive the stake in deep, raise the Ebenezer up high to show this world that you know Jesus Christ. He's the reason anything you've gotten good in you is because of Him, and you don't want to shy away from giving Him glory. "Here I raise," as the old song went, "here I raise mine Ebenezer." Father, bless us now is our prayer. Christian, if you're here today and you've been a silent Christian, I don't tell anybody that should be obnoxious, but I do think we should be quick to give glory to the Lord. If you're here today and you've never, and you're not the one, you're a Christian, but you don't really speak out for your faith, you don't drive in that deep stake, you don't raise that Ebenezer, I'm asking you to do it. In your life, your marriage, your family, your home, your business, let the Lord have the glory for what He's done in your life. If you're here and you're not saved, I challenge you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Would you stand together with me as the piano and instruments play? If you're here and you're in need of being baptized, I invite you to come. We'll baptize one, see him follow Christ in baptism. As they play and you pray, if you're here today and you say, "Pastor, as the Israelite Samuel raised that Ebenezer, I want to raise the Ebenezer in my life. I want to be quick to give God glory. I want to be thorough in acknowledging that He's the reason that anything gets done in my life. I want to do that." And if that's you today, I challenge you to make a a decision right there in your seat and just tell the Lord what we just talked about. That you say, Lord, I want to be quick to give you glory. I don't want anybody to mistake that my business or my job or my ability is self-generated. I want to be sure that the glory goes to God in my life. And if that's you today, I challenge you right there in your seat to make a decision that, Lord, I want to raise mine Ebenezer. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved. If that's you today and you'd like to receive Christ as your personal Savior, I did it years ago. It's the most important decision I've ever made in my life, is to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you need to do that today, I challenge you to step out and come. We would help you with the Word of God, just show you what the Scripture says about receiving Christ. Maybe there's some other spiritual need you have and you'd like for somebody to pray with you. And I invite you to come. We'll have one of the men, one of the ladies, if you're a lady, want somebody just pray with you and spend some time. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God's legend, this is you believe should be your church home. I invite you to come present yourself for membership. Baptism. I don't have it on the screen, nor did I plan to do it, but hymn number 3 in your hymn book there, Come Thou Fount. We won't sing it. I just want you to see, in case you're ever singing this song, you'll know, if you didn't already know, where some of the verbiage comes from in the second verse of hymn number 3, Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. In verse number 2, here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. So in case you're ever singing that, you wonder, well, what is that? Maybe they need to get up on the screen. Thank you, fellas. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, and I trust that you'll take that song with you. How many of you know that song? Oh, wonderful. Good. Well, you're blessed. I was joking with Nick earlier, and I said, Nick, glad to hear you sing. He said, I was going to preach. And I said, well, that leaves us in big trouble, because I only came prepared to do one thing, and that's preach. So, and it wouldn't have helped if I'd known ahead of time to get ready to sing. That wouldn't have helped me be any better at it. But so I won't lead you in it, but I want us to see that here I raise mine Ebenezer. And if you know that song, I trust that you go out humming it, go this week singing it a little bit, and remember this, that we ought to look for opportunities to raise that Ebenezer for the Lord. Give God glory in everything He does in life. I don't want to take credit for something I didn't do. If somebody says something to me, oh, you did a great job on that, well, it wasn't me, it was so-and-so that did that. The one difficulty I have as pastor is when people say, oh, there was such a good job you did in that, and I want to just stop that person and give them about a 5-minute speech about how many people were in all of the inner workings to make that one day happen. It's just not practical. Sometimes you say, praise the Lord, thank you. But I don't want to take credit for what God's done. I know that you don't as well either. And here I raise mine Ebenezer. We're looking forward to seeing this baptism, and trust will be a blessing.
I'm needed to get baptized, wanted to rededicate his life to the Lord. And so we're glad for Brian. He's going to come. We're going to baptize him. And we're so excited. He's been coming for quite a long time. And we're looking forward to baptizing him this morning. Well, Brian, based on your profession of faith, based on your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with him by baptism into death, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen.
Amen. Very good.
Well, what a joy it is to see people be baptized. I've never seen a new bride or groom be embarrassed of their new wife or husband. I'm glad you're glad to. Now, I've seen some that may have married a while. They've been a bit embarrassed of the old one, but never a new one. And glad to put that wedding ring on there, say, I'm married, this is my spouse. And it's always a joy in that same way to see somebody that's saved and not ashamed of that and say, I want to follow Christ in baptism. And I challenge you, if you've never been baptized after you got saved, that you can come forward in an invitation sometime or talk to Brother Daniel, Brother Dan, Brother Kyle, myself, any of us, and we'll get that set up. And we'll certainly enjoy seeing people express their faith in Jesus Christ in an outward sign of baptism. Let's all stand together. Thank you for being in church this morning. It's a joy. It's a joy. It's a joy to have you. And Brother Wade Farmer's daughter sang, and his future son-in-law, Brother Wade, I'm going to ask you to come and dismiss us in prayer, and to give me a chance to get to the back door and shake hands. If you're a guest with us this morning, don't forget the guest services. There'll be somebody there waiting, and we've got a gift for you. Also, if you don't mind, if you're able to, you have a little time, then stop by and see Amy and I. We certainly would love to get to meet you as well. But it's been a joy to be in God's house. Brother Wade, won't you pray to dismiss us?
Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your hand upon this church and upon our pastor. And Lord, what you have put in our hearts to look after each other and care about each other. And we ask that you take this message, and as we go out this week, that you would help us to speak for you, to be an example for you, to raise up our Ebenezer. Bless the services tonight and this day. In Jesus' name, amen.